Psalm 92, verses 1 through 4. And hear now the word of our Lord. It is good to give thanks to the Lord and to sing praises to your name, O Most High, to declare your loving kindness in the morning and your faithfulness every night, on an instrument of 10 strings, on the lute, and on the harp with harmonious sound. For you, Lord, have made me glad through your work. I will triumph in the works of your hands. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, you are the Almighty God who created all things. You are the Almighty God who has given your people your written word. We humbly come to you now to ask that you bless this time we have this morning. May this sermon feed the people of God and cause those who are continuing in their unbelief to turn to you who are full of mercy and you who are full of grace. We rest in the knowledge that you are a loving God and that your word does not return void. Your word is certain and infallible. Your word tells us that by the blood of the Son of God, we have been redeemed. Lord, guard my mouth, protect my mouth, give me the words to speak, to preach the truth. And in Christ's name we say, amen. Amen. And now may the Lord add to the reading of his word. May the Lord add to all that we've done already on this blessed Lord's Day, now through the preaching of his word. Again, greetings, Saints of Grace Reformed Baptist Church. I bring you warm greetings from Sentinella Baptist Church. Last week, I preached a sermon over there on Psalms 29, and it was appropriate to mention during that sermon the blessings of being in an association, finding like-minded churches that we can do these pulpit swaps, pulpit supply when needed. One of those blessed benefits is having the circumstances to do that. Pastor Jihad repeatedly has preached here before. Pastor Barcellus has preached at our church a few times before. A couple of weeks ago, we've also had Pastor Isaiah Rugnow give us the word, and that was well received. Thanks be to God. And we ought to give the Lord the glory for such a wonderful benefit that we have. Let us give that Lord all the utmost thanks. And that leads me to what our focus is this morning. I would like us to consider today the topic of thankfulness. As the sacred author tells us, it truly is good for us to give thanks to the Lord. I will start with us considering a couple of those gifts that we ought to be thankful for. The gifts of grace that are common to everyone, by way of a general overview, which will then be followed by another general overview of the special gifts of grace that we ought to be thankful for as we as believers receive. This will lead us to think about two specific examples of that special grace. And may the Lord bless this time we spend hearing the word preached this morning. May it comfort the hearts of the believers. May it convict the hearts of the unbelievers. And as always, bring glory to God. Let's first consider the common gifts of grace that we ought to be thankful for. Perhaps some of us have never heard of that term, common grace, and we are fuzzy on what is actually being said there. They are gifts of grace, brothers and sisters in Christ, that are not limited to the believer, but are given to the unbeliever as well. It describes those gifts which are a benefit both to the redeemed and the unredeemed. We read that the Lord Jesus Christ said regarding the Most High that he is kind to the unthankful and evil. So that might sound strange to us, that the Almighty God shows kindness to the unthankful and evil ones of the world. There may be some that find this to be a pill too hard to swallow, because the Lord shows love in a way difficult for us to understand. But let us keep in mind, beloved, that without the blood of Christ atoning for our sins, we would be included in this lot of unthankful evildoers. The Lord showed us kindness while we were yet walking corpses, dead in our sin, before newness of life came upon us. With our renewed minds, we now see those around us who still are dead in their sin, which has its weight still upon their necks, and see the same common grace that we benefited from, are now benefiting from, and will, Lord willing, continue to benefit from, given to them as well. The Lord Jesus Christ also said, "Our Father in heaven makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good and sends rain on the just and on the unjust." Going hand in hand with our understanding of the Lord's kindness, we also see that his sovereign providence, that his providence causes his sun to rise both on the evil and the good, for which we ought to give the Lord thanks. He also causes his glorious skies to be filled with his beautiful clouds, which he causes to be filled with precious rain that comes pouring down at the time he deems for it to come down, upon both those who rest solely on the name of Jesus and those who have yet or may never do the same. The rain is a common gift from God. The sun, being God's creation, beloved, shines and the rays of warmth that it produces touches the face of the believer and the unbeliever. Yes, even the Lord's Day, the Christian Sabbath, has elements that connect to it that are a blessing for everyone. When the Lord declared a day of rest, was that only for the benefit of the Christian, therefore allowing those who do not believe to continue working? Or is it a day for all creation to take rest in? Even the godless derive a common grace blessing from Christian Sabbath as they also rest. Beloved, it is a day of rest we all ought to give the Lord the utmost thanks for, and it is a great sin to not do so. Is this water available for this? So now, when we are talking about common grace in general, it helps us to understand the divisions that are often used to describe, or the categories used to describe such grace. These divisions were created by some faithful brothers, dead theologians in the past, and may they be a benefit for us today. The first being that universal common grace, which is a grace that extends to all creatures. Think of the very air we breathe and what we've already discussed about the sun and so on. Think of the axis upon which the world spins, that if it was altered, we would be in a world of hurt. Yet the Lord sustains. It is the loving kindness of the Lord that we feel every morning, for which we give him thanks. The second category is called general common grace, which is a grace that applies to all mankind. We already talked about the rain and sun. They are both a gift of grace from the Lord for mankind that needs such things to, such as grow food, grow the things that are also the daily bread that we receive from God. They are both a gift of grace from the Lord. And I also mentioned the blessed Lord's Day Sabbath. I'll be trying to mention that every time I can, of course. A day of rest for all of mankind, regardless of their blindness to the truth. But then the last category, and the one that I think is the most interesting, especially in this new chapter of life that I've entered as a father of a little one, it's called covenant common grace, which is a grace that is common to all those who live in the sphere of the covenant. What do I mean by that? So, for example, let's think about our children in the congregation. While they may or may not become members of the bride of Christ, it's of course our desire for them to do so, but if they may or may not become members of the bride of Christ, they still benefit being in a household of believing parents. For example, are they not blessed to be in a home that does not worship false gods? Are they not benefiting from being in a home that takes the Sabbath seriously? Are they not benefiting from a home that has parents that take seriously the Lord God Almighty? Consider the blessed gift given to all who even work in a business owned by Christians, in the blessing that they receive, having a day of rest on the Sabbath, therefore allowing their employers or employees to rest. And we can go on and on and on with examples. With those three divisions of common grace in mind, we can zoom out and look at the multitudes of gifts that we all commonly receive every day, every hour, every second here. Oh God, the profundity of it all ought to cause us to praise the Lord for what we receive from Him. It's how profound this whole thing is, this truth is for us. We could show our thankfulness for the rest of our lives, and it would still not cover the entirety of His grace. It would be like us taking a cup, going to the middle of the ocean, drawing a cup full of its water, and saying, I have now caught the entirety of the sea in this cup. I now understand the depths of the sea with this little cup. Consider that these gifts of grace are not just common in the sense that they are for the believer and the unbeliever, but using the term common in another way, they are so common that we cannot help but see His grace being given all around us. It is so common that there's not one single thing that we could look at that would not be touched by the grace of God. This is why, beloved, we ought to give thanks the way the psalmist writes. We are to declare God's loving kindness every morning and God's faithfulness every night. Lord, give us ears to hear such truth. Now, moving on, after that general look through regarding common grace, let's now do a general overview of that special grace. While common grace could be seen as that which is given to both believer and unbelievers, for which we all ought to give the Lord the utmost thanks, when we consider special grace, we are talking about those things which are given specifically to those who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. Those who are part of the bride of Christ. The benefactors of the Lord's special grace are those who have eternal life through faith in Jesus Christ. While God's rain may hit the crops of the just and the unjust, we cannot the same regarding matters of salvation, matters specific for the bride of Christ. Special grace is the grace by which God redeems, regenerates, and sanctifies His people. What makes it distinct from that common grace is that it is drenched in the blood of the Lamb who is Jesus Christ. It must be said, common grace can never remove the guilt of sin, nor can it renew human nature. We need something that is outside of the common, something that is different from the common, something that is special. It is a gift of grace given to the people of God alone. And as we cover two of the many treasures that are special given to us by God, who is full of mercy and grace, remember our text this morning. When we hear these two gifts that I want to point out to us, prepare your lute, prepare your harp, prepare your voice, prepare your hearts to render thanks to the Lord on high. So I would like us to look at these two. And the first one would be the gifts of prepared good works that are given to us. We read in God's word, "For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." Christian, have you considered what this text is telling you? that we have been created in Christ Jesus for good works. And this was not a spur of the moment creation of good works, but they have been prepared by the Lord God Almighty for us to walk in them. We have been molded and crafted in a way so that we are to walk in the prepared good works for us. The sacred author wrote, "Beloved, for you, Lord, have made me glad through your work. I will triumph in the works of your hands." There is a lot for us to be thankful for regarding this. The prepared good works given to us is a precious and special gift to the Christian. Let us be thankful for them because they are a way for us to show our gratitude to God and honor Him. As believers, we pursue out of gratitude. To use some of that Orthodox catechism language, out of gratitude, to live in a way pleasing to the Lord. Because of how thankful we are, we pursue lives doing what honors Him. Because of how rich a gift we have been given on that hill called Golgotha, we want to strive for a lifetime of reverence to the Lord who is the author of our amazing grace. That is one of the reasons for good works for the Christian. Another reason that we ought to give thanks is that because of the assurance these good works provide of the faith inside of us. The Lord tells us in Matthew, "Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit." And take comfort, Christian, that the presence of good works is to provide assurance. Just as an apple grown off the limbs of a tree telleth that the tree is an apple tree, so do good works reveal that they are from a good tree. Let's look at the good works that we do and know that they were not even possible concepts in our minds before we came to Christ. You know, people have had experiences where there was an immediate reversal from sins that had plagued them for years. And then others had reversals further on down the line. Consider that before you were a believer, there was perhaps very little interest in the Bible, very little interest in the reading of God's Word, and how you as a Christian view it today is different from how you viewed it before. You now look at the Bible and go, "This is the word of the Lord. How can I not look at it and read it and want to understand it with my renewed eyes?" Consider that possibly you hated everything to do with Christianity, but now your family takes the Christian Sabbath seriously. All those instances should produce thankfulness for us. Truly, let us be thankful for our good works. And third reason, let us give thanks for our good works, for they may win others to God, may win others to Christ. Matthew records once again in our Lord's word, God records in His word, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." One of the purposes of our good works is to bring our neighbors to Christ. You might say it's our neighbors outside of our homes, our coworkers, the people that we see. It's our neighbors next to us, in the homes that we have, wherever we are. And it's the people that we might share a roof under, our children, and so on. When we live our lives according to our holy God's will, and our neighbors see that, that is a witness to them of how the Lord took the life of the wretched, depraved sinner and redeemed him. It shows our neighbor that there is a new life within these once walking corpses, dead in sin. Think of the man who once had an addiction. Think of the woman who was once angry all the time. Think of the person who lied all the time. that all these things destroyed relationships. Relationships with family and friends. And now they become a new believer in the Lord. And that the sin has been snuffed out. They become a new believer in the Lord. He's begun to kill the sins in their life. And the people around him notice the change. What's going on with so-and-so? They hear that they have become a Christian. They might be suspicious at first, but then slowly see that the change is real. How do they see that the change is real? Beloved, they see the light shining through you. They see the light shining through this person by the good fruit coming from the tree. They see the light shining through and they wonder, where is this coming from? And the person points, it's not from me, but from Christ. In other words, the prepared good works they have done and are currently doing show to those around them that they have been made alive in Christ. And this is why we ought to give thanks for those good works, because they point to the change and they point to Christ. Let us praise the Lord that He uses us in such ways to bring people to Him. Let us give thanks that we see there is blessed assurance found in the good fruit produced through us, and have thankfulness that the prepared works are a way for us to give thanks to the Lord throughout our lifetime. And since we are considering the special gifts that the Lord has given His people, let our second and final one this morning, the final one that I will mention, be the most precious and most gracious gift of all. And this is what is called, what I tell people, this is me delivering the goods for you this Lord's Day. Let us give thanks for the precious blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It is a great comfort and belief for the Christian to remember the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ being shed on the cross. The precious blood of Christ makes peace for us, which we are to give thanks for. We read in Colossians that the Lord has made peace through the blood of His cross. Understand, Christian, that before you were made alive through Christ, you were at enmity with the Lord God, creator of the universe. Without Christ covering our iniquities, our sin, we would be, we would be left alone with said sin to face the wrath of God. And Romans reminds us that before Christ, we were enemies of God. We were once considered to be at odds with He who created us, as well as the heavens and the earth. And I want that to sink into our minds, that this is not a game or silly rivalry. This is the sacred author of Scripture, who is God Himself, writing that we were once enemies towards Him. Before the precious blood of Christ was applied upon us, we were in such a state of sin. This truth does very much magnify the precious blood of Jesus, does it not? Does it magnify our thankfulness? Does it not? It makes the truth that peace has been made between the people of God and God Himself that much sweeter. It makes the truth that peace has been made between the people of God and God Himself that much sweeter. Therefore, give the Lord thanks for that sweet, precious gift, the precious blood of the Son of God, because it secures the peace. It secured peace with God for us. We ought to also give thanks for the blood of Christ, for it obtained redemption and forgiveness for sins. Ephesians 1:7 reads, "In Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of His grace, This, my beloved brothers and sisters in Christ, is perhaps why we can consider the blood of Christ to be one of the chief gifts that we are given, a precious jewel, the precious jewel. This redemption through his blood is very much a gospel proclamation. We have been given the precious blood of Christ, which through it there is redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Let us say and continue to say to the day we die, the words that are brought up out of thankfulness, we say amen to that gospel truth. It is in the book of Hebrews we read, and according to the law, almost all things are purified with blood, and without shedding of blood, there is no remission. When we are giving thanks for the precious blood of Christ and think about how through that blood redemption is obtained, let's consider how without the shedding of blood, there would be no redemption. There was a need for a sacrifice to be given, as that was made clear by the sacrificial ceremonial laws of the Old Testament. There was a need for blood to be spilt for the atonement of sins. And it was necessary for the God-man. It was necessary for the blessed man that we read about in Psalm 1 to die on behalf of the people of God. Without the precious blood being shed, then there is no redemption. There is no remission. Thanks be to God that it has been spilt, and that the blood of the Lamb is then taken as payment for we who were once slaves to sin, but are now slaves to Christ. If you only had one breath remaining to give thanks with, let it be to give thanks for the blood of Jesus being shed for thee. Oh, to be washed in the blood of the Lamb! Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. Hopefully you all know what I am referencing there. The hymns of the church congregation, the hymns of the church remind us of the power found in the shed blood of Jesus. It reminds us of the power found in the shed blood of Christ. As we think about this wonderful gift and join the chorus of dead Christian saints that came before us in a harmonious rejoicing of this marvelous gift, let us give thanks to the Lord, for we are partakers of the benefits found in the blood of Christ. So in conclusion, I have 2 points of exhortation. First, let us not forget that these gifts of grace that we have received are gifts that we do not deserve, that we do not deserve them. That thought, that truth ought to make our voices sing louder and make our praise louder. If you thought for a moment that the gifts we discussed today are due to you based on merit, these special gifts based on merit are merit. Let us pray for repentance. Many believe that they can earn the gifts of the Lord if they just try hard enough. If they tighten those bootstraps harder and keep working on it. As if more piety would mean more of the blood of Christ. More of the blood of the Lamb given out to that person. While it is a blessing for us to live lives according to God's will, it does not make God beholden to us to dispense more gifts. Beloved, to realize that we truly do not deserve such gifts from the Lord amplifies the preciousness of the gifts that we have been given. You mean to tell me that I get the precious blood of Christ even though I am a wretch? Absolutely. You mean that to walk in the good works prepared for me provides assurance, which I do not deserve? Both the good works and the assurance? I don't deserve either? Praise God, yes, it does. You see, once we understand that we do not deserve such a bounty of gifts given to us, we can consider this second exhortation, which is that we ought to give thanks for the Lord for such gifts. And that is the main thrust of this sermon. Let me repeat. It is good to give thanks to the Lord and to sing praises to your name, O Most High, to declare your loving kindness in the morning and your faithfulness every night. This has been, again, the main thrust. We are given so many gifts from our Lord that we could spend the rest of our lives cataloging them. And when we realize what even one of these gifts are, what are we to do? Let's have hearts when we even see the smallest of these, in our eyes, the smallest of these, hearts that are ready to shout with joy, "Thank you, O Lord, we praise you for your continual blessings. Thank you." Now, a question may arise that sounds like this. How much praise are we to do that will show enough gratitude for the precious blood and prepared good works that the Lord God Almighty have given? If he gives me this, okay, I will sing two praises here, and then we're good. How much? Is there a rule book here? The answer is, again, repent for such foolishness thinking. For our lives are to be lived drenched in gratitude, drenched in thankfulness for all that the Lord has given us. So while that might be a question that arises in our brains, it might arise in our children's minds, we should follow up with the real question, which is, how can we cease from giving the Lord his due praises? Once we understand more and more all that the Lord has given us, how can we cease from showing thankfulness? So take heart, Christian. Take heart. May our numbered days be filled with thankfulness and gratitude for all the Lord God Almighty has given us. We've only highlighted a few of those gifts for which we ought to give thanks. And I'm encouraged and pray that it will drive us to increase our understanding for what we ought to be thankful for. So may the Lord bless this message and make it edifying to the saints. And now let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, you are the creator of all things and the ruler of all things. The whole earth is full of your glory, for we cannot go a second without a reliance on your grace and mercy. You give the believer and unbeliever such common grace that one is left an utter fool when they suggest a Lord that is distant and disconnected from his creation. We who believe and are your people marvel at the continued giving of your gifts to we who do not deserve it. We read Psalm 1 and understand that it is describing the blessed man who is the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We read Psalm 92 and we understand that we are faulty at this, but we understand that Christ is not faulty. Let us remember our thankfulness to you as we show our thankfulness for others. We show our thankfulness out of gratitude. May the Lord bless this time of fellowship, this time, this Christian Sabbath, this time that we've had this morning. And in Christ's name we say, amen.